Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, my engineer producer. John on the other side of the glass as we continue to practice safe distancing while bringing people together here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio for this Friday. It's Good Friday 2020. We are live during the week right here on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening, and all of our podcasts available for you at buckmastershow.com. What a lovely day it is in Tucson. And you know, one of the few silver linings has been the air quality around the world. It's just been unbelievable driving into the station today. Visibility had to be about 60, 70 miles. I could see certainly into Mexico. Perhaps you saw that story that was posted on social media, places in northern India that had not seen the Himalayas for 30 or 40 years. And that picture was amazing, how bright and the mountain shining in northern India. So maybe it's this is one of the few silver linings as Mother Earth tries to kind of heal itself, at least temporarily. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to Dylan Smith and his organization for supporting us. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's Dan Shear and his group. Jim Ninsel's group is the Tucson Local Media Group, its portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. All of these organizations prominently display the Buckmaster Show logo, making it very easy for folks visiting their websites to click on our site and go right to all of our programs and all of our podcasts. The Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman, how are you, sir?
I am well, Bill. Good to hear from you, and hope all is well.
Yes, things
like everyone else. You know, I'm at home and working from home and doing the business I have to do from home, like everyone else, having to make the very necessary adjustments to this pandemic and what will follow as we stabilize and, God willing, soon to get a clean bill of health for the nation and its people, and how we start talking about our recovery. And I think that is that's on everybody's mind right now, and it's certainly on my mind.
All right, let's bring in also in the conversation on the live line is Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you today? How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. Kind of tired of not being out and about, but yeah, it is what it is, as we all know.
Congressman, what about your schedule now going back to Washington? I know you're not really relishing probably getting on an airplane and going back, but when does Congress re-adjourn?
We really don't know that. I think there was a tentative date of the week of April 20th. I think that's dubious. We do have the urgencies of how we're going to follow up on the first relief package, the CARES, the discussions that are going on right now between the Democrats in the House of Representatives and the Republicans in the Senate in terms of what the follow-up CARES 2 is going to be. I don't know if that's going to eventually require the House to come back in session if there is no bipartisan agreement that everybody can sign on to. I hope there is, but if there's not, then, constitutionally, we're to take those kinds of votes, whether it is voting remotely or by proxy or whatever, is going to require us to be there and to take those votes in order to do that. And it might require us to be there to look at what the next package is going to be, relief package and recovery package, and what the one after that will look like. Because I think that we're in for continuing to do the kinds of investments that you saw in the CARES 1, which I saw that is more as a relief package, but starting to talk more seriously about what a recovery package and recovery strategies and initiatives are going to be necessary from the federal government going forward. And so the 20th being a target date, but I doubt that we can meet that target.
All right, let's bring in Mr. Steller. Go ahead, Tim.
Congressman, what are some of the key elements that you foresee or that you see people talking about in the next package? What are some of the top priorities that people are wanting to address?
Well, as you know, Tim, it's one of the possibilities of getting something done that is bipartisan in this next package. And I think that the differences right now between what McConnell in the Senate wants and the priorities that we've indicated is the Paycheck Protection Plan, which goes to the Small Business Administration for small businesses. We want that $350 billion that is being requested that's in the Republicans to be divided in half. Right now, the problem with helping small businesses that many of them are not receiving the loan guarantees, not receiving the loans, not receiving the grants. And, you know, the bigger banking institutions, whether it's a Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase Manhattan, Chase Bank, et cetera, they're going with existing clients, people that they have serviced in the past, that have loans in the past, and they're the first in line. But, you know, a huge percentage, over 40, close to 50% of the businesses that are hurt deeply right now that have had to shutter, close, that are desperately trying to stay alive and keep employees working, those businesses don't have those relationships and are not receiving the attention at this point. And we want it divided so that at least half of that money goes directly to community lending institutions, community banks, et cetera, to be able to get that assistance that was intended for all small businesses to those businesses that right now are at the end of the line. That's number one. Number two, 15% extra for SNAP, food stamps, and nutrition support for families, and additional money for hospitals and community health centers and health providers. Those are the additions that we want to see in the bill that the Senate wants to fast track, and that's the negotiations that are going on right now. And so, but the broader bill coming down the road, Tim, is going to be about the recovery strategy, which means infrastructure, which means education systems, etc. You know, the whole process of saving lives, which is what we've been doing. Controlling the spread, mitigating that, treatment, hospital capacity, the equipment needed, the protection of frontline health workers and others. All that has been in the necessary and important work of saving lives. But with that work comes an economic cost, and we're seeing it. The social distancing and all the other protocols that have been put in place to limit the spread of this horrible virus have had an economic cost. You know, we're up to what, 16, 17 million people have applied for unemployment in this country, record levels in Arizona, and that trend is going to continue. So the economic recovery of this of the nation is got to be the important investment package that we talk about down the road as well.
All right, Tim, you had a quick follow-up, then we need to take a break. Go ahead,
Sure, yeah. But so when you all have these negotiations between the Republican-led Senate and the Democratic-led House, inevitably what that means is you compromise by giving each other priority, you know, accepting each other's priorities to a certain extent, and that inevitably raises the cost, doesn't it? Like, in other words, we'll accept your $500 billion for big corporations if you'll accept our, $400 billion for small businesses. Doesn't that inevitably raise the cost, that kind of negotiation?
Well, I wouldn't say that it doesn't. Yeah, it does. But here's the deal: that we have a bifurcated Congress. We have Democrats are in charge of the House, my party, and the bill that we put together in the House was very much different from CARES One that we're dealing with right now. And in the negotiations with the Senate, at that point, it became what we have now. And I think the big issue that remains is that economic side of the question, in which we think the majority in the House thinks that we have to be bold. We have to take actions now. If we go into a deep recession, we have to take actions now to begin to revitalize, stabilize, and then revitalize the economy. And it's not going to be status quo. And so our packages have been different. But in the process of negotiations, we're not in charge of the Senate, and we're not in charge of the Trump White House. So the consequences are that you compromise. And I think the urgency of the moment and what is going on, that give and take, if it ends up costing more money at some point, I think given what we're confronting with this virus and what we're confronting with the economic disaster that we're facing, those compromises are necessary.
All right. We're going to pause right here. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us on the live line, and Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star is also on the live line. Of course, all of our interviews here on the Buckmaster Show being done telephonically, and we were maintaining our safe distancing as I sit here alone in the studio, but I do have a very smiling face on the other side of the glass. Thank goodness, John. Thank you very much for talk. It helps when I'm looking at a live human being on the other side of the glass. Mona's Danish Bakery would love to see you. You can walk into the bakery, no problem, 6:30 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. Place your order, and they will give you your bakery goods, and you walk out. You can also call ahead, 579-1959, if you didn't have a chance to jot the number down. monasdanishbakery.com is their website, and folks are helping to support Mona's and all of our local bakeries and restaurants during this very troubling time, as folks doing their takeout and deliveries as well. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. If you're thinking maybe some bakery goods would be wonderful on Easter morning, well, how about a Danish Kringle? Boy, that sounds really good. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. More with Congressman Grijalva and Tim Steller of The Star in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, the voice for trusted news talk. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. you can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Good Friday 2020. Wishing everybody a very blessed Easter weekend. We're on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Friday Focus interview telephonically is with United States Representative Raul Grijalva. Also on one of our live lines, Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Congressman, it's looking more and more like the post-CV world, coronavirus world, will look more as kind of a rollout as different regions supposedly come kind of back online. Areas like the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, which was so hard hit initially, doing so much better. There are areas in the Rocky Mountain West that have not been hit as hard. Is that kind of what you're thinking, or and where does Arizona, in you, from what you're hearing, fit into that kind of rollout?
I'm not totally convinced that a rolling clean bill of health for different regions of the country is the way to go.
Okay.
And I mention that because I think, you know, let's let the scientific expertise and the health expertise guide us as to how that clean bill of health gets done. If there's regions that merit that, of course. But I think, you know, one thing about this global pandemic is that there's a connectivity to it and how it spreads and everything. And so I would wait. I think the guidance from the people that have to have the priority right now, and that's the people that are responsible for saving lives, the health experts and the science experts. I also think that we cannot lessen. And I understand the administration wants to do that, but we cannot lessen the necessity for a level of universal testing for everyone, so that we have a real handle on it and we're able to say with some degree of confidence that we're moving forward because of the results of the testing. You know, that has been the point from the beginning of this, and it continues to be the point from the beginning, continues to be the point now. And so I think you couple that with expert advice and testing, then you can start having a fact-based look at what a rollout should look like.
And Tim Steller, I'm hearing that there might be some kind of a very easy antibodies test that would be available to a lot of people very soon. I think that would be extremely important, Tim and Congressman, in determining maybe who's had it, especially since so many people are asymptomatic of this thing. Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so my understanding is that it takes some time once you've had the virus for the antibodies to be detectable. But, yeah, it seems like that would be a great way for us to know who is, immune or at least temporarily immune from the illness. That is, if it mutates, they won't be immune. But and I wanted to ask Congressman about this. I don't understand. I don't think anyone understands. But why has it been so hard to get testing expanded rapidly enough so that we know first who has the disease and second, get antibody tests available so that we know who has had it and can go about their lives?
Yeah, that's a very important question, you know, because, you know, this global pandemic is no one's fault. Assessing blame for this health crisis that is worldwide and has hit us and has been devastating and is no one's fault. But, you know, a very poor federal response, governmental response in general, is increased the infection rate and brought the kind of and death, to be honest with you, and brought the kind of economic carnage that we're seeing around us as we speak. That I think can there has to be a responsibility for this response. The fact that there was prior notification, there was prior alert, prior warning, and the fact that for some reason the attitude being that we were somehow that we were somehow as a nation immune to this disease was a mistake, and responsibility has to fall on people and on the institutions that should have responded to that. The question is that lack of preparedness, lack of taking it seriously, and continuing to at certain points minimize what could be the impact. As cooler and saner heads took over, then testing became a priority, but we're not there yet. And I agree with you, not only for the immunity issue that you brought up, but testing would provide some assurity to the American people about this disease, and also provide some assurance about when we reach a point in which people can be comfortable beginning to some extent resume their lives and resume their activities and the economic well-being of the country. When that day comes, I think all of us are going to find that things have changed, and that the status quo that we were used to in the past is probably not going to be applicable as we go forward. I think you asked a really good question about, you know, the money, and that compromise involved the give and take of priorities and the price tag to those priorities. Yes, and I think also it should be noted that part of what I think is the responsibility of the federal government and the responsibility of the state government and local governments as well is the accountability for these vast sums of money that are coming forth to try to deal with the health issue and to try to deal with the recovery and relief around the economic issue. Accountability, making sure that corruption in the terms of how that money is used and not used it does not occur. I think that is going to be an oversight responsibility that the federal government has to undertake with earnest priority, because one of the things that we can't do is take these sums of money that we are using to stabilize our communities, to provide a clean bill of health, and suddenly find out after the fact that it lined people's pockets, that it wasn't used for the purpose it was intended, and that it wasn't prioritized the way it was intended. So the money that's been allocated has to be used for what it's supposed to be used for. For example, bailing out the airlines, seen as an economic necessity. I will debate that. But, the bill specifically says that 80%, if not more, of the money that would go to the airlines must go to the people that work for the airlines and the people that are employed at those airlines, not to stock buybacks or CEO perks and extra benefits. Those things have to be monitored. How we expend the money that goes into the hospitals, how it's used. For instance, of the 30 billion is going to be in hospitals' accounts by the end of the day, all across this country. Arizona will get about 708 million. That will be proportional to the Medicare reimbursements that they had in 2019 hospitals, and that infusion is to for those hospitals to limit the economic losses that they're going to deal with, that they're dealing with right now, also to keep the frontline health workers safe, but also to deal with the people that are coming in for treatment and care. Those are all $708 million is important, and it's a first response. The same thing could be said for universities and colleges. Half of the money of the $30 million that the university will be receiving of Arizona, half of it must go to students and their student support, from housing to having the capacity to be online to take courses, etc. All those are accountability points, and the list goes on and on. And I think anti-corruption, making sure the money that is used for what's intended for, doing the right oversight and holding ourselves accountable for that money, I think is a huge priority that Congress must undertake immediately and continue to do immediately.
We've had over 2 million tests, and we're now doing over 100,000 per day, so we are trying to crank that up, and I think they're trying to get that tripled here in the next week or so. So we are trying to crank it up, aren't we, Congressman?
Yes. Is there any evidence, do you think, Congressman, that the administration or anyone else is trying to minimize either the extent of infections or the extent of deaths by infections due to COVID-19?
The data collection is critical. We're never going to know. It's going to be difficult to backtrack that information. I think efforts are underway in some states, not all states. People that survived the virus, and people that died from the virus. And at the time, January, February, the cause of death was put down as pneumonia, heart, breathing issues, etc. And because the relationship had not been established yet, because we had not accepted that as the virus as a real threat. We're never really going to know those numbers. I sometimes worry And I worry considerably that, you know, the lack of enthusiasm and priority for testing is a way to minimize the amount, when in reality, knowing how many and providing some assurance and security to families that they are not infected, or that they are and they survived it, or that they are and need to be treated, I think it should be the priority. And I think not doing the testing, to me, keeps us from actually knowing the breadth, scope, and depth of this virus.
Congressman, are the tests available to yourself and other members of Congress? Have you yourself had a test?
I've been fortunate, and God bless, have not had any of the symptoms that are associated with this virus, or flu symptoms for that matter. I've been very fortunate and lucky. Usually this time, you know, the flu and I seem to have a yearly meeting regardless. And but this time I've been spared, and so, but you know, if symptoms were to appear, and I would call my physician, talk to them, and go from there. But no, I haven't. And are they available? I'm assuming that they would be, but I haven't had the need to, nor have I tried to find out if there's anything special for members of Congress to get the test quicker than the rest of the people. I haven't afforded myself of any of that information at this point.
Well, we hope you stay well, Congressman. All the best to you, and especially this Easter weekend. Thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, if I may, I think there's one point
to
mention that I think is really important.
Go ahead.
And it goes to the crux of what we're talking about: accountability, how money's used, what kind of initiatives are going to happen down the road for recovery and dealing with this health thing, is the issue of voting and our democracy. You know, the 440 million was appropriated in the initial package, the CARES package, to be given to states. I think Arizona gets $8.4 million. And that is to facilitate voting and to assure that people have exercised their votes in the upcoming election. I think that's really important. And urging ourselves, and we're going to push it again, that there be a universal vote by mail with prepaid envelopes, so that, you know, the residue from this pandemic is still going to be with us come primary season and general election season. And anything we can do to maximize the health and the security of voters, but at the same time, maximize the participation of voters, this election is very important. I think our democracy is going to depend on what happens in November to a great extent. We could debate that later on, but I think now, regardless of affiliation, regardless of whether a voter supports me or any other individual, is irrelevant. The getting to them, the ability to vote by mail in a universal sense, I think would be the way to go. And urging this legislature and this governor to take that money and use it toward that end, I think would be a very, very positive step for Arizona. And hopefully the Senate will agree in the near future that that is something we have to do, and that money would be appropriated for that specific use and not for the discretion the governor has to use it or not for a vote by mail in the future. But I think voting and making it as easy and convenient and expedient and accessible to people, I think it's going to be an underlining issue through this whole thing.
All right. Congressman, thank you very much. Have a great Easter.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A little bump music. Everybody's talking, and that's what we do here. This is a news talk station, 1030. The voice in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our thanks to U.S. Representative Raul Grijalva for giving us a few minutes on this this Good Friday, and Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. And Tim sticks around for a few more minutes. Want to bring up a couple of things. First of all, the big question that John and I have here in the studio, or John on the other side of the glass of the studios, whose dog was barking during the Grijalva interview? I think it was your dog, Tim.
It was not.
Whoa!
We have two dogs that were silent during the interview.
Wow!
So I think we had a congressional pooch that was... vocalizing.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up, but we went a little long on the interview. I was going to say, okay, whose dog is barking? So it turns out it was not the stellar animal. And I don't know, and I know you're very big on animals, as am I. And what do you have, two cats as well?
Three cats, two dogs.
and a couple of kids, including a kid who had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Really, and I didn't get a chance to bring this up to the congressman, but this was really an interesting article in Barron's. I like Barron's. I get it on Saturday. It kind of gives me the over-financial view of how things are going. Deutsche Bank looked back over 800 years of economic catastrophes. At the top of the list, at the top two, actually, the Black Death of 1349, it was like a 24% decline in the English economy. 1629 was 15%. So they took 800 years of these economic contractions, and then they put in what's expected in 2020. Hey, and we made the top 20. That's not a very pretty picture, is it, Tim?
No, really not. And it's the problem is, I mean, we're all anxious to get started again, but it's really unclear how that's going to be possible right now, because you know all the projections of that show us leveling off in the spread of the virus are all based on the idea that we will continue our social distancing practices for another month at least to the end of May, say. And so, you know, the likelihood is if we, you know, at the beginning of May, try to restart the economy in certain places or what have you, it's very possible that we'll restart spread of the virus and then we'll have to ratchet back and that sort of thing. So it's hard to figure out how we're going to get out of this and escape the kind of economic downward spiral that we're in right now.
Yeah, a lot of folks pointing now to June, so we will see. This report that is out now from Howard Fisher up at Capital Media Services, this COVID-19, Tim Stellar, this outbreak is going to be a $1 billion, that's with a B, hole in the state finances. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, Tim, to figure out what this is going to mean for the state of Arizona's budget. I mean, I don't know what we have in our rainy day fund. But
well, coincidentally, it's $1 billion.
Oh, I think, okay. Well.
So, I mean, you don't generally want to spend down your entire rainy day fund, but on the other hand, this does seem like a rainy day, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, you know?
Especially when it's a top 20 economic disaster of the past 800 years. I would think
yeah.
that would qualify.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I can see not to dig deep into that fund is that we don't know when we're going to come out of this. But it seems inevitable that we should drain at least, what, half of that. You know, this is the time. We need to, I mean, we're borrowing on a federal level in order to give relief. And we should be, you know, we can't do the same at the state level, but we can use the money we've saved up for situations exactly like this. And, you know, I think we just have to do it.
What are you doing about your supplies and your household? We have not seen at the Buckmaster household any Clorox wipes in any
yeah.
store. And I know that I saw that on CNBC. They posted, well, what's going on with Clorox? Well, they just can't keep up with the demand. And now they're saying mid-May, early June before we'll actually see Clorox wipes.
That's a shame. Yeah, well, we have actually repurposed. So I was in Agua Prieta, Sonora, what was that, a month ago?
Right.
And this was just at the beginning of things starting to run out. And so I grabbed a few items from a farmacia down there that were, you know, not available, readily available on the U.S. side. Well, it turns out some of the wipes I grabbed were no alcohol.
What?
You know, they say antibacterial but sin alcohol, you know, without alcohol. I didn't notice that at the time. But, of course, there's ways of dealing with that. My wife opened the packages and poured in some rubbing alcohol.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and then suddenly you have alcohol wipes, you know. So there are ways to deal with shortages and you know, to kind of improvise your way around these problems.
And then, Tim, schools, of course, have been out. And I keep seeing these reports that there's a large percentage, Tim, of kids nationwide are using this just to play video games and are not doing anything online. This basically, to many kids, has been an invitation. School ended in, what, St. Patrick's Day or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really hard accountability, Tim, to keep up with this.
Oh, yeah. So I heard an interesting one from teachers at my son's high school who said, you know, he's going to be a senior next year. And they said, you can quit now, i.e. not continue doing the work and get the grade that you had when you stopped. But if you do, don't come to me looking for a letter of recommendation for, you know, whatever you may be going on to after high school. And I thought, well, that's probably a decent kind of carrot stick way of approaching the problem.
Yeah, you know, this is, and I've told you this before, my opinion that this is this kind of the snowball. You and I both grew up in the Midwest, and, you know, we used to make those big snowballs and push them downhill. And, of course, after a really nice snowfall, they would get bigger and bigger. And that's kind of the way this has been in the news business. It's one story, and then that particular story opens the door to something else. And it just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yep. And right. Well, I mean, it's just the, you know, it's nice to see other stories, but this one is so all encompassing that, there's an angle, there are just infinite angles that you can cover. And it's really interesting, but also overwhelming. I mean, it's just, you know, it affects all of us individually. And then, it affects every aspect of our society. So it's hard to know. I know for me, it's hard to know what to do next from moment to moment as I'm working.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what goes on here with the U of A and as we get into the summer and about the fall. I mean, there's a million questions about what is going to happen. That's why I was so happy I could post a good news story on Wednesday on my Facebook page, and I think it's gotten over 100 shares. The fact that my church, St. Philip's in the Hills, bought up $3.5 million worth of medical debt, so 1,700 households this upcoming week after Easter are going to get a letter in the mail saying your medical debt has been forgiven. That is
it's a wonderful story.
It is, and you guys pat it on the front page as well, because people do need some good news right now. Tim, my good news to you is I hope you and your wonderful family have a lovely Easter weekend. Stay well, okay?
Thank you. Same to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tim Steller, my friend from the Arizona Daily Star, Tim's columns in the Arizona Daily Star, and I didn't get a chance to ask him about what his column will be this week, but I guess we'll find out on Sunday. Let's take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
All right, time to stir it up. It's time for Weekend Watch. Whenever I hear that wonderful music, that bump music, I know I am ready for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And being a traveler like I am, kind of the way I use travel and planning trips to just de-stress. That's the way it's always been with me. I have that travel bucket list in my head, and Silver City should be in there on your head, your bucket list. When this is all over and when it's safe to travel, they'll be ready for you at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. For your planning and to start thinking about that getaway, go to southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find so many ideas to recreate in Silver City and great places to stay as well. Award-winning Tucson publicist and dedicated foodie, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, my friend Matt Russell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great this Easter weekend, and lots of deliciousness in sight.
So much, and so many people stepping up to help our restaurants, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of them, Bill, is the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Now, these guys have just launched a gift card incentive program that gives you the opportunity to take out from downtown eateries and put some money in your pocket at the same time. So check this out. On their website, downtowntucson.org, you can purchase gift cards for $25 each and actually choose which downtown restaurants you'd like to use them for. And you're going to get a free $10 gift card for every card you purchase. Now, these kinds of giveaways are typically reserved for much larger minimums. And to get a free gift card for spending only $25, I think is unprecedented. So enjoy takeout and an added bonus from Downtown Tucson Partnership this weekend.
It is Easter basket time, Matt Russell.
Yeah, historically on Weekend Watch, during Easter time, we're talking about wonderful meals being served in dining rooms, but just because the dining rooms are closed this year doesn't mean you can't enjoy Easter cuisine at home from a local restaurant. For example, Dante's Fire is putting together Easter brunch baskets for families of four.
Better Very be a nice. Big basket. That's cool. Yeah.
Now, this one includes omelets, pretzel bread, French toast, roasted leg of lamb, chili roasted beef tenderloin, apple cider fried chicken, all the side dishes, desserts, and a mason jar of mimosas for only $60 a basket, Bill. You can pre-order those baskets now by calling Dante's Fire, the number 382-9255.
Boy, that leg of lamb's got my mouth watering right now, I'll tell you. Hey, what's going on with our friends at Saguaro Corners?
Yeah, way out on the east side. You know, Cocktails to Go has become a huge hit this week across town. And Saguaro Corners, they're going to be sending you home with a kaleidoscope of colorful cocktails that will brighten up your Easter tables. They've got mango jalapeno margaritas, divine swine Bloody Marys, corner old fashions, and more, representing nearly every color of the rainbow, served in sealed glass jars that make it easy for transport. Whatever you're serving on Easter Sunday, some Saguaro Corners cocktails, I think, will be the perfect pairing.
What do you have in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, Bill, there's a video of some local chefs
that landed on YouTube last week, and that video has already been viewed nearly 17,000 times.
Whoa.
Now, what in the world are these chefs saying that made this video go viral within days? That's my story in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
I can't wait to take a look and find out what the mystery's all about. Thank you, Matt. Have a wonderful Easter.
Happy Easter to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Matt Russell. With our weekend watch, The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Wholly responsible for the content of the program. Lots of people to thank. Original theme music by our German friend Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my longtime assistant. Everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer John Couch. The entire media team at Bustos Media. All of us wishing you a safe and a beautiful Easter weekend.